On Thursday, April 22, 2021, the League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library hosted a forum for candidates for the three open Bozeman School Board seats. The forum was held via video teleconference, and Sally Mason moderated. It was divided into 2 one-hour segments, with three candidates assigned to each segment. This recording is of the first segment of the forum.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sally Mason. This school board forum is being hosted by the Bozeman Public Library and the League of Women Voters Bozeman area. The ballots were mailed out last Friday and must be returned by May 4th. Both forums tonight will include three candidates and each will last 1 hour. My name is Sally Mason and I am on the board of the League of Women Voters. Wendy Tage has dropped out of the race and Anna, I don't know how to say her last, Makarachian and Lisa Weaver were not able to participate. This forum from 6:30 to 7:30 involves Gary Lucene, Leanna Bertelson, and Anna Schermelin, and she does not seem to be here. Anna, are you here? Are you in the crowd? And if you are, please unmute yourself. I'm just going to go ahead and hopefully my colleagues will find Anna if has signed in. The format is as follows. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to introduce him or herself. After that, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to respond to the question we asked them to prepare. And that question is, why are you running for the school board? And if you're elected, what will be your priorities? Following that, we will open questions from the audience. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to the question. At the end of the hour, the candidates will each have 2 minutes to make their concluding remarks. Anne, my colleague to my left, will be doing the timing. And can you put up one of the timing? So we will start with introducing the candidates. And I don't know what to tell you about Anna. She had said she was going to participate, so I don't know how to understand that. Have you been through the list of everybody who's in the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And she's not there, huh? Beth?
Correct.
Okay.
As soon as she arrives, we can.
But as soon as she arrives, we'll catch her up. How does that sound? So, the two candidates for this are Gary Lucene. Gary, will you wave? Gary, will you wave? There, good. And Leanna Bertelson, will you wave, please? Thank you. Okay. So who would like to go first to introduce yourself? Leanna or Gary?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you, Sally. Thank you very much for the league and the library for sponsoring this. My name is Gary Lucene. I've been in Bozeman since 1981, business owner for almost 40 years. And I've been on the Bozeman School Board for 16 years and hopefully have another 3 years. I've had two children go through the Bozeman school system, on through post-secondary and graduate schools, very well successful. They're in Bozeman and hope to have grandchildren attending school in the future. So I'm very passionate about continuing the good work of our district. Getting through things, it's been a rough year this past year. And in addition, school board involvement. I'm also on the Montana School Boards Association Board of Directors representing our school board. I've been on that for almost 10 years, so I get that perspective. And I'm also on the Dean's Advisory Council for the Dean of Education at Montana State University. So I feel like I've got a broad perspective of educational issues at all levels. And certainly have a passion for continuing to address those and Okay, I'll stop.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Diana?
All right. Hi. Thank you to the League of Women Voters and the Public Library for hosting this forum. My name is Liana Bertelson, and I am an educator, I'm a parent, and I'm an involved community member. And K-12 education is my... I've been a teacher since 1989, which includes my 10 years as a BSD 7 teacher at CGMS and what was once the Wilson Science and Technology Magnet School in the early 90s. I've taught at MSU. I have a tutoring business. And for the last 4 years, I've worked for the nonprofit called Illustrative Mathematics, where I work with teachers in schools all over the country to implement new math curriculum. My three kids have attended and still go to Bozeman schools. We were a part of the Irving and Chief Joseph, Sacagawea, and Bozeman High School communities. My oldest daughter is about to graduate from college. I have a son who's about to graduate from Bozeman High, and I have a daughter who is a 10th grader. In the 30 years that I've lived here, I have volunteered in the schools and the community. Currently, I am a co-leader with the Bozeman Task Force to advance the safety and status of all women and girls. And Bozeman is a thriving district in many respects. And although we get many things right, Bozeman is not perfect. This year has shown that we have challenges to address. I've appreciated all the community engagement. It was evident that there were competing needs and demands that were expected of our school professionals and the desires of the community. I'm committed to listen deeply and openly and to be transparent in all my communications, to work collectively to search for creative solutions to our most pressing issues, because that's what's going to benefit our school communities and our students the most. I know that I can hold that space and bring my voice and my perspectives as an educator, parent, and a volunteer to the school board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And who would like to go first to answer the prepared question? Let me repeat the question. We sent the candidates last week the following question. Why are you running for the school board? And if you're elected, what will be your priorities? And who would like to answer that first? You have 2 minutes apiece.
Well, I'll jump in and go first. I'm running for the school board, asking for another 3 years on the board to continue the work that we've been doing the last many years in the district, developing a very high-level quality educational program. And I would like to continue that. I think there's obviously many challenges we've run into in the last year, which have exposed many different things. And I think our district, teachers, students, parents, large majority have really stepped up and navigated through that well, even though there's been very many challenges and difficulties. And out of that comes the future of what we're going to do. And I guess my priority for the next year to 3 years, first of all, is to get do a very thorough and good superintendent search to find a good leader that fits into our Bozeman community and honors our culture and our. And beyond that, I want to look at really the educational delivery system. We've got some very innovative thinkers in our district, and I believe there's things we can education that can improve the overall education delivery model at many different levels. It's a complicated issue and has to be addressed at many levels. And I believe my experience the last many years dealing with legislation and policy review and being on the board gives me the experience and the expertise to help navigate through those issues and really develop a really good future for the education of our children in Bozeman.
Thank you. Liana?
So I hope to have the privilege to serve as a school trustee. And I'd say that basically, I am a huge supporter of public education because I think that good public schools are really the heartbeat of our community. It's meant everything to me as a parent to have my kids go to high quality schools. And so, You know, when I think about the issues that our community is facing, I think that leadership matters. And one of the priorities I'm interested in is our search for a new superintendent, like Gary said. I was a part of the search for our new chief of police just recently as part of the Bozeman Task Force. And so that taught me a lot about that process. I'm interested in finding a superintendent who will build trust in the relationships and communication, who will mentor leaders and be able to communicate that vision to the community and work with parents. So all those are important to me. And the other thing that I'm really interested in is, while we're at the center of what we do as a school system, just behind that are our teachers. And like it's super important that we have teachers that feel supported, that they have a safe environment to work in, that they have room for to grow professionally, that they feel like they're valued in both their compensation and their working conditions. Because when we have some great teachers, and so when they feel supported, they're the ones who are going to deliver on the purpose and the goals of our school, which is to ensure that there's high achievement for every student to succeed and make a difference in a rapidly changing world and community. And so that brings me to the last point, that our community is growing. And so, you know, what's coming to light are some of the disparities in wealth, in things that are systemic in nature, and those who are marginalized. And I want to ensure that we have equitable resources and access for everybody, and that people feel that they have a voice, that they can use it and engage in the process. And those are my priorities if I'm a trustee.
Okay, thank you so much. And now, someone asked me early on if the group would be allowed to ask questions. And indeed, you can. That is the heart of our forums, is the audience asking questions. So here's how to submit your question. At the bottom of your screen, you'll see a toolbar. If you can't see it, try moving your mouse over the screen or press the Alt button. The toolbar should pop up at the bottom. The Q&A feature listed on the toolbar is what you can use to submit your question. So to submit it, select the Q&A button and type in your question and then hit Enter to submit. And here are the guidelines for questions. Those of you who know me as a moderator, I've moderated a lot of forums. I ask you humbly and stridently both to ask a question, not make a speech. And if a member of the audience asks a question to be answered yes or no, the candidates will be allowed to qualify or explain their answers. We don't want to trap the candidates into having to just say yes or no. And if a question is asked of a particular candidate, so if you ask Leanna a question, Gary will be allowed to answer it as well. And each candidate will be given probably, let's do 90 seconds since there are just two of you. So
I don't see a Q&A feature. I see a chat. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's the chat. Yeah, it's the chat feature. Is everybody cool with this? Can they also raise their hands and say their question? Okay, do the chat. All right, and here.
I submitted my question.
Okay, I see one. Here's the first question. Biological boys in girls' sports destroys girls' sports. Do you understand what I said? Want me to repeat that? Leanna and Gary, or do you get it? I'll say it again. Biological boys in girls' sports destroys girls' sports. What is your stand?
Well, I guess I'll go first. That's a situation I'm learning more about. And I think from a biological standpoint, there is certainly a change that needs to take place for an individual, for example, a boy competing in girls' sports. But I'm not convinced at this point that that should not be allowed. And I come at this from maybe a different perspective. I'm a licensed physical therapist and I'm a licensed athletic trainer. Mm. And treating many, many people in the sports world at all levels, elementary through Olympics to professional, I have a responsibility to treat everybody equally. And when I factor that perspective into my thought process, I think having individuals, if for whatever reason they need to transition to another gender, and that, and as I understand, biologically it takes a little bit of time, but that can change their physical function and decreases the male ability. And if that's the case, then I would say let them compete and have a life and participate in activities that they have a right to participate in. And as a provider, I would treat them the same as everybody else.
Thank you. Liana?
Yeah, I'm looking at the statement, biological boys in girls' sports destroys girls' sports. And I'd say, you know, that's an opinion. I don't know that I see evidence of that statement. And, you know, that being said, I agree with Gary in some respects that there's much that we don't know and don't understand about those who identify as trans. And my understanding is it's something like handedness. And, you know, if we, you know, you what, it may not be apparent on the outside, but how you are on the inside, you know, that's the expression of who you are. But I would say that in sports, that, you know, I have daughters who compete in sports, and from my experience, they did not feel threatened by trans athletes. And I think that when I talk about equity, that, you know, when we know better, then we treat people better, that we allow people to compete where they feel comfortable. And it is really in Montana, a small number of athletes that we're talking about. And if female athletes don't feel bothered by this, then I don't think that it's something that we need to be concerned about, that we can be supportive about. You know, I'm willing to understand points of view and to listen to what the issues are, but I think there's, my understanding of it is I don't think that biological boys in girls' sports destroys girls' sports, but I can understand concerns about it, and I'm willing to have conversations and hear what those concerns exactly are and think about how everybody can compete fairly.
Okay, thank you. Next question. What is your stand on masks?
What was the question? What's our stand on masks?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Liana, do you want to go first, or?
Go ahead, Gary. I like this back. I'm comfortable.
Well, I've developed a pretty clear view of masks over this time period, and I fully support the use of masks. And why do I do that? One, I'm a healthcare provider, so I listen to the science. It's been well documented that when two people wear masks, they can sit up to 1 foot apart and have almost no spread of the virus. And that's essential, particularly in schools. So we started with 6 feet distance, and that's been reduced down to 3 feet, which is much more manageable. But I go back to a neighbor of ours whose daughter, a Bozeman High grad, has taught in Taiwan for the last 5 years. Taiwan's population about 24 million. Last year, when the virus began spreading around the world, they immediately masked up. And by nothing closed down, schools didn't close down, businesses didn't close down. And by, I think in November, they had had 73 deaths in the entire country. So I know masks can be very political, ideological, removing our rights. But I personally do not believe that. I think I felt I have, my rights have not been impinged upon by wearing a mask. And I think for the safety and health of our teachers and our students and our community, it's essential that we comply with masks. And we'll just have to see what the future brings as far as that being held up.
Okay, thank you. And Leanna, masks. What is your stand on masks?
I think masks are to protect community health. I think that while I see it has been a political issue in many cases and hearing that conversation, it's really just a matter of science and good hygiene and common sense. I don't personally think that it's difficult to wear a mask, and it's not as much about the protection of me, although it does protect me. It's about not knowing who I'm coming into contact with. And, you know, as far as protecting teachers and just the sheer number of people that come into the classroom and that teachers are involved with, you know, we're protecting the people we're coming in contact with when we wear a mask. I don't know if the person, you know, or teachers also, I don't know if the person that I'm dealing with is someone who has some underlying health conditions. I don't know if that person is someone who has someone in their home who they're concerned, who it could be life-threatening if they, you know, if they catch COVID. And so for me, it's a courtesy to the people in my space. And it's just a small thing that I can do to not only protect me, but to protect others. So at some point it won't feel like this, but for now, that's something that we can do.
Okay. This was sent to us before and also is in the chat room. Can you please explain how you understand the duties of a school board trustee and describe how your experience, not your perspective, your specific experience would contribute to the successful functioning of the board? You want me to repeat that? Yes? Okay, let me run it by again. Can you please explain how you understand the duties of a school board trustee and describe how your experience, not your perspective, your specific experience, would contribute to the successful functioning of the board? That's it, guys.
Leanna, go ahead.
You're it.
It's the back and forth, Gary. But okay, I'll go ahead and go. I actually have it here in the chat, so I can see this.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you can see it.
I've been watching the school board meetings for this past year in particular, because although I'm very familiar with public schools as a teacher, as a facilitator, as a parent, understanding the school board trustee role has been really interesting for me, because basically we listen to the leaders of the district as they have their committees within the schools that work on policies, that work on programs, that work on curriculum. And my job is to ask questions to understand that and to vote on those. And one of the reasons why Bozeman has been such a good school system, we trust the professionals that's their life's work. They're the ones who have invested in understanding the issues and how to best address them with the kids. So that would be my role as a trustee, is to make I understand those issues and that I ask the appropriate questions. And then as I'm listening to the school district, that I'm able to communicate to the public what that vision is. And so the other half of it is, or part of it is, listening to parents, listening to the needs of the community, and being able to translate what's happening in the district so parents understand, and so that parents' needs and questions are also understood by the school community. So the way that I can contribute is I'm a deep listener, and I'm willing to engage in hard conversations.
Whoops. Okay, Gary.
Yeah, thank you. The role of a trustee is to govern the district. It's not our role to manage or micromanage. So we have to function at a high level. The trustees hire is the superintendent. So that's really the individual we pay close to and try and work with and help them understand our district. But from my experience being on the board, it takes a few years to really learn all the details of what's important within the district. There's many different issues we need to deal with and to try and operate the district in a very fiscally responsible way. So we have to attend to the taxpayers, voters, and communicate with them and for them at the board level. And this past year was a good example of the board getting a wide variety of comments, some very harsh comments from people on certain issues. And when it comes time to vote on those issues, I have no problem making a decision as long as I have well-informed, good information, and I will make the best decision I can make. But my focus is going to be on the students and the teachers in the school district and make sure our school can continue to provide good education and good social and emotional skills for our students.
Okay, next question. What attributes are you seeking in a new district superintendent? And I'm going to tie that to the next question. I think it goes together. How will you vet the new superintendent? So what attributes are you seeking and how will you vet the new superintendent?
I'll go ahead and go, Gary, since you just spoke. I mentioned this earlier and I'm very interested in this process. And what's important about the new superintendent is that I'm looking for someone who has, you know, clear leadership skills. And I define leadership as someone is able to build relationships through trust and communication. A good leader, a good superintendent will be someone who knows how to mentor the leadership within the district, whether it's principals, teachers, parent groups within the community. Lastly, it's someone who's able to communicate that to the bigger community. So those are the qualities I'd look for. And as vetting, I just went through the process with the chief of police as far as recruitment and interviewing. And I've been on those places in hiring teachers and so forth. So, I'm wanting to understand what the process is in the school district. I imagine similar as far as, recruiting somebody who is a fit for Bozeman, that understands community, that understands the unique needs of the school. And that's someone who has those experiences to bring our district forward.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah, thank you. Well, this is my fourth superintendent search. and you know, you learn something from each one of those. And, just as a business owner and handling employees for the last 40 years, once you get involved with people and you see them work, you learn a lot more about them. So my intention of a new principal or a new superintendent is really to have an individual that understands our community, is willing to listen to people within the community and within the district, someone that will work collaboratively with everybody as best they can, someone that will understand and support our long-range strategic plan and the benefit of our district using a consensus process to resolve significant issues. And really, probably the major element would be communication. Can that individual really communicate well with different individuals within the district, students, people within the community, and really be the voice of the district in a very good manner? Vetting them, I can tell you that it's already on my mind. If I'm elected to the board, I will do a deep vetting of every individual that applies for our board. We don't know what the pool is going to be like. Bozeman is fortunate that we do have people really wanting to work here and live here in our district. We have a well-respected district around the state and around the country. And so I think we need to, the individual needs to be vetted very well. All candidates need to be vetted and go to a deeper level and really find out how that individual operates, what their leadership skills are like, what their communication skills are like, what their vision of education is. You know, does it fit with Bozeman's? You know, what we want to do and what we expect and what our community expects from the superintendent of our schools. So the vetting process will be rigid, and it will be complete. And my guess is that it will may be challenging to those candidates for our superintendent position, but I think we need to do.
Okay, thank you. Next question. What do you see as the board's role in restoring trust among various stakeholders in the BSD 7 community?
Well, I'll go first, I guess. You know, that trust is a critical element of any organization like a school district. So we can't function well unless we have good community trust. And in my experience on the board, there's been great effort at the administrative level to do things in a very transparent and trustworthy way. And we kind of measure that by what our levies do. And our levies have been very successful. And so we really appreciate that within the community. And thank you all. But we need to have some good communication at all levels within administration, to your students, parents, for sure. And I think that's something that has improved over the last few months. And that's something I definitely believe needs to continue down the road. And we will work very, very hard to win back the trust of the community. And certainly welcome any feedback, information, ideas that people may have. And that doesn't mean that all of those will be accepted, but we do value those comments and people engaging in our district. And it's very healthy and it's beneficial. And I know our board will make the best decisions moving forward.
Okay, Diana.
Yeah, there's so much I agree with what Gary is saying, that that, you know, trust in our with the community and with our school system and everybody involved is a really important factor of what will make our school system stronger. And you know, this year was such a confusing and difficult year, and I understand and heard that there were many parents who were frustrated by communication and what was. And so, you know, one thing about being able to rebuild that trust is, you know, there's multiple levels of how that can happen, and having systems and processes in place where parents and teachers can all feel heard, that they have access to and an understanding of the issues, and that, you know, much of it is just being able to hear each other and to be able to honestly name what the issue is, so that we can work towards solutions. You know, that's what I think is going to be able to build trust. And you know, in addition to that, I think that you know, we've had this long history, like Gary was saying too, of reflected in that we've always supported our schools through the elections and the levies. You know, I want to see that continue. Oh, and the last point I wanted to make was that I think that parents didn't always know the resources that were available. So somehow being able to connect the dots for people to be able to know, you know, how they can access things, how they can get the help and the support that they need, you know, for both teachers and for parents.
Okay. Thank you. What specifically will be different about, this is a question for Gary, but Liana, you can answer it as well if you choose to. Gary, what specifically will be different about this superintendent vetting process than the last one?
Typically, it's kind of a historical process for superintendent searches. And, you know, we'll get candidates in that may have been found by an outside agency. And that's one thing our board has decide on what route we're going to take as far as pursuing superintendent candidates. So there's, and within that process, those agencies will investigate the individual, do background checks, et cetera, and they provide information to the board. And in the past, we've looked at that, and it has all seemed very relevant and to the individuals we've had. But I think moving forward, we need to go much deeper in vetting. The board needs to really look at what we want in an individual that's going to best serve our community and ask any and all questions to anybody to try and get that information.
Thank you. And Leanna, do you want to speak to that question?
Yeah, I want to speak to it in terms of, since I did go through the process of the chief of police hire. And I think, you know, as far as using a recruitment firm to help us do that first layer of vetting candidates, as Gary was saying, it's really important because it's a fit both ways. It's, you know, a person who fits our community, you know, that they're a fit for us and we're a fit for them. And, you know, that takes a lot of conversation. It takes a lot of listening. And the first step is defining all of that, like defining who we are as a school community communicates what qualities and qualifications we're looking for in a superintendent. And if we do that really well, then that's going to feel pretty clear about who the fit will be. So like, those are some of the lessons that I've learned that it sounds like it can be a part of the process. And I really look forward, hopefully, to engaging in that.
Thank you. In what ways can our school district actively support non-binary and trans students? Did that come across?
Yeah, that did.
Okay, good.
I'm really glad this question came up because it is one of the values that I hold about being equitable and what I was speaking to about you know, people who have often been marginalized. And you know, it is one of the goals stated in the long-term strategic plan of the district, which is Bozeman Public Schools will have effective systems in place for students to learn and staff to work in a safe and healthy environment. So it's one of the things that the district is really taking in an even deeper look at with the creation of it's the racial equity task force, but it also includes those who are binary and trans as a part of that picture. And they're starting the deep work of that. And I have a lot of, you know, interest and confidence of where that conversation will lead and how we can best support all students to feel welcome. You know, statistics show that those who are trans, non-binary, and are at the highest risk for suicide and mental health issues. And you know, if we care about everybody in our district, we support everybody in our district to feel like they have a place.
Gary?
Yeah, I would echo what Leanna has said. And I guess if you go back to the core purpose of our district, which is a key component of our long-range strategic plan, is Bozeman Public Schools exist to provide an outstanding education that inspires and ensures high achievement so every student can succeed and make a difference in a rapidly changing world community. So I fully support that statement, and that's what I've tried to do my entire time on the board. And trans individuals or anybody else within the category that is involved in our equity task force have every right to be in school and get the same opportunities that all the other students get. If we don't do that, then we're not achieving to our core purpose, which is to meet the needs of every student. And those needs can vary. And I think our district is well prepared to provide that with counseling and social and emotional support. And, you know, that's been evolving in our district very well for several years. And you know, that will continue to evolve. But as the world changes, as some of these things change, we're going to have to change too. And I think our district is well prepared to do that and have the flexibility to make the changes within our district that we need so every student can succeed. I see no reason why we should discriminate or separate anybody within our school district from receiving the best education they can receive. So I will continue to advocate for that.
Thank you. Next question. Is there a policy or practice for orienting new trustees to the board? If you would be a new trustee, do you think there should be a practice or policy for orienting new trustees to the board?
I think that's my question.
Right?
Okay. I will go first in hopes of giving Liana some insight of what goes on. So, yes, when a new person is elected to the board, our district will have a board training, have board training materials and a session to orient that individual to really what the roles of the board are and what their role is. So while that's helpful, learning what goes on the board and how to navigate through things takes time. In addition to that, the Montana School Boards Association has educational programs for new trustees that's very well thought out, a lot of good information to provide them on really how to operate as an effective board member. And in addition, our board, we will have a mentor, another board experienced board member, connect with a new board member, and they will be a mentor for that individual to provide them some background information as they need and just prepare them for upcoming board meetings, how we operate, how to view things. So, yeah, some of it's on-the-job training, but we do have some pretty good systems in place to help people understand and get up to speed as quickly as they can on board activity and making board decisions, but that still takes time. So,
thank you. And Liana?
Thanks, Gary. So in answering this question, what I want everyone here to understand is when I decided to run for the school board, it was a long process that started at least 5 years ago, because I've known different people on the board, and at different times where I felt like maybe I want to try that, I have just asked questions of different board members along the way and gotten advice and heard the parts that you're talking about, Gary. That was something that has been told to me along the way, that there is a lot of support for new trustees. And that's just helped me to define, you know, do I have the time and capacity? You know, is this my interest? Do I really understand what it means to be a trustee? So when I entered this process, it was with that full knowledge of even though I don't know everything that I'm getting into, I feel like I made that decision very thoughtfully in trying to understand where my support would be and how I could learn. And at this point, this is where I feel assured that that hopefully if I am elected, that I can access all those different things.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Even with the COVID year, the district launched a new high school, a major change for the community. How is that going? What is your vision for ensuring that we maintain not one but two centers for excellence at grades 9 to 12?
Well, I'll go first. I look back at opening Gallatin High this last year as an extremely beneficial event for our district, because if we would have had 2,400 students in one building, that would be a real challenge for students and teachers. So we had the benefit of spreading those students out, even within the facilities, the two facilities. I think we have some amazing principals at each school and staff. That was very well vetted, and there's experienced staff at Gallatin High and at Bozeman High. The teachers did a great job staffing both those buildings. They're developing a very good culture, kind of an individual culture for each school, but as one Bozeman. So it's just been a really good process. Yes, COVID affected that to some degree, but we had the benefit of more space. So I think moving forward, I just see both are going to flourish and do well. We work very hard to keep our academic programs equitable and equal in both facilities. And some students can go back and forth. We maintain the Bozeman Charter School. Bridger Charter School, and that's thriving and doing well. So I think we're in very good hands.
Okay. And then this is going to be the last question, and then we'll have the 2-minute wrap up from each of you. What is the board's role in recognizing the need and supporting access to mental health for students and staff?
Sally, did Leanna answer that one?
Yes, Leanna, okay. Did you answer that?
No, I hadn't yet. I was just...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I need a keeper here. Bad moderator. Sorry. Please.
Yeah, so the question was about launching the new high school and...
Right. How is that going?
This reminds me of when we had one middle school and then we opened up a second middle school. And, you know, there's that first year of where you know, just establishing those two separate communities, and yet it's serving the same community. And I feel like I believe that this year that there, it was a really good job done given all the challenges that had happened. And, you know, so I'm really excited to see where this is going to lead, because that second high school has been a long time in coming. And, you know, once again, that I have a lot of faith and trust in our professionals and how they're handling those changes. And, you know, having two distinct high school communities that, but yet are, you know, they serve all high school students in our community. And, so I'm looking forward to see how they're able to do that and sustain all the great programs that we've always offered, and also developing their own distinct personalities.
Okay. Last question. What's the board's role in recognizing the need and supporting access to mental health for students and staff?
Well, included staff as well. And I am just going to repeat. I mean, there's Gary and I both have referred back to the core purpose about providing an outstanding education in a rapidly changing environment. But then also one of the goals about having effective systems in place for both students and staff to learn and work safe in a safe and a healthy environment. So, you know, that the way that it's all part of that goal, that it is important that staff feels safe and supported, that they have access to what they need, and that we're able to, because, you know, they're the ones that are serving our school population. You know, and for students, it's one of those issues that, you know, we're a community, and schools are often the first place where we address these community needs. But there are also other agencies that work in connection with the school district. So how do we strengthen those connections and those relationships and the services that can be offered? I mean, that's just good community practice. That's also fiscally responsible. But we have an incredible nonprofit community and people who are serving in the schools. So that would be important to me, that we maintain and strengthen those relationships and make those connections, and that people understand where they can access what they need to serve their mental health and their health.
Okay. Gary.
Yeah, this is something that is near at the top of the list for our district administrators and our teachers. Separate this, student mental health is critical, and it's increasing, not just in our district, but across the state and the country. And that's something we are putting forth a lot of resources to address with counselors and with partnerships with entities outside of the district to help us with that, after school programs, anything we can do to help those students that are struggling with social or emotional difficulties, mental health issues. Staff is same as well. We're concerned about the staff. This last year, we didn't lay off any staff through the COVID. We were fortunate to do that. We respected their safety concerns and allowed them to go fully remote or take a leave or whatever they needed to do. They have access to counseling and other issues if they're having issues of anxiety or depression or any other mental health issues. And that's covered by the district, so they have access to that. But I think that's a key element, I think, in all of education, which clearly affects the individuals themselves, but those around them based on how they behave in the classroom. And so that's one of the challenges that teachers have in the classroom of really managing some of the behavioral issues. And I think our district has done a good job putting things in place to address that.
Okay, thank you. And now for the 2-minute concluding remarks. And who would like to start first?
I'll go ahead and go. So in closing, what I want to say is that that my experience on multiple levels in schools around the country, having worked as a facilitator, having worked as a teacher in this district, having been a parent and a volunteer, those are the perspectives that I bring as a school board trustee. And it kind of in response to a question that wasn't able to be voiced earlier about equity, this is important in our community because we are growing and changing rapidly. And I think the question of equity is a big one in our community that we would be foolish to think that it's not going to impact us. There's wealth disparity. There are people who have been left out of the conversation and marginalized. And what's important is that we have equitable access to resources, that everyone has a chance to feel included, and that we give voice and attention to that. Many people have either felt that they couldn't participate because they either didn't know how to engage or they felt unwelcome. And I want to be the trustee that can offer that perspective and be that voice for people who have felt left out of the conversation. So in closing, I really hope I have the privilege to serve as a trustee. Thank you.
Thank you. And Gary?
Yeah, well, thank you. I think my view is to look at what we've learned from the past year and factor that into the last 16 years I've been on the board and look at the success of our district and get us back to that point where we are an innovative and progressive district that really looks out for every student in our district. And I would like to continue that. I do not have an ideological or political perspective or view on this. My focus is on students and learning, having good resources for teachers to do their job. I'm concerned about the workload teachers have. Now there's more and more being piled on their plates, teachers and administrators. And I think we need to take a serious look at that and really get down to the basics of what do they need to really do their job effectively. And there are many elements of that on many different perspectives. And that's why I support the consensus process that our district has used for several years to really address significant issues within our district. And every district has significant issues. We have them and we're going to continue to have them. But how you deal with those issues is critical. We can engage in a process where we're fighting among each other on how to resolve issues, or we can sit down together and come together and discuss them and work them out in a very positive manner, focusing on the best possible outcomes of any issue. And that's what our district does. It's been proven time and time again. I was in negotiations this week for one day, and it worked extremely well. And it has in the past and will continue to work in the past. And I will advocate for that in the effort to provide the best education that our district can for our students.
Thank you both very much. Thank you for your politeness and your thoughtfulness. I'm most appreciative. We are going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to hear from Cheryl Tuscan, who I see, and Doug Fisher, who I don't see, but hopefully he's here. Yeah. And the third is Jennifer Lammer. So the three of them will be in the next forum, and that will start in 5 minutes.